Thank you, Brother Curtis, for that time of worship. I was just going to see if Curtis wanted to preach. He's preaching to us there at first. Said we give an invitation. Well, it's good to see everyone here tonight, and hope you've been having a good week. And kids, I hope you're looking forward to spring break next week. I'm looking forward to the warm weather next week. And kind of been nasty this week again. Let's go to Psalm 119. Once again, we're going to be looking tonight at the goodness of God. The goodness of God in this ninth section of Psalm 119, the tenth section. It starts with verse 65. And I'm sure that it's been some time back, but it was pretty common, probably about 10, 15 years ago, I think. I don't hear it as much now, but it was pretty common that pastors would say, God is good, and the congregation would say, and all the time. You know, that was something that was often said, but, you know, I really wonder how many Christians really believe that. I mean, we say that all the time, but do we really believe that God is good all the time? Because there are times adversity comes into our lives that seem to challenge that. And so I ask as we get started tonight, do you really believe God is good and does good all the time? You know, not just in the good time, but the bad times. I mean, it's a serious question. I'm asking you to think about it. And I had to think about it as well because, you know, we know what the Bible says and that's what we believe. But what I should rephrase that. Do we believe in our heart? Not just up here in our mind, knowing that God is good and He does good, but do we really believe in our heart that He does good all the time? Well, tonight we're going to be looking at this ninth section. It's the Teth section. It's the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's like our letter T. And what's interesting is that five of these eight verses begin with the Hebrew word Tob. T-O-B, which means good, pleasant, beneficial, precious, delightful, and right. Those are some of the words that are used of this Hebrew word tov. Generally speaking, when it's used as an adjective, it's going to be translated good. And we're going to see that four times in this section of Scripture. It's translated good. And I want to point those out for you real quick. In verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge. And then verse 68, it's used twice. Thou art good and doest good. In verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And so you'll see these four times Tob is used and translated good, but it's also used once and translated well as an adverb. In verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. This is the same Hebrew word, but it's an adverb here instead of an adjective. And so he's talking about how God has dealt with his life. He's describing it as well or good or beautiful, delightful. And then it's used once in verse 72 as a comparative adverb, better. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So six times this Hebrew word tov is used. And so I point that out because when you're studying a passage of Scripture, I'm just helping you. When you're studying a passage of Scripture, look for repetition of words. That will give you a clue as to what the theme of that section of Scripture is. Sometimes it's hard when you read through these Psalms, these sections of Psalms, to get the main idea. But here it's pretty easy for us to get the main idea, because you see six times the word Tob is used, or good. And so that would be the key word of this section. But the main idea is this. The main idea is God is good and does good according to His Word. That's the main idea we're going to look at tonight in this passage, that God is good and does good according to His Word. Why does God do good? Because He is good. God does what is good because He is good. And because what He does is according to His Word is also good. His Word is also good. And think about that. God's character, He's good. And God's Word is good. These two things will never change. I think I may have misspelled that, if it's even up there. Is it in the next slide, Brother Justin? It may not be. It shouldn't be ever. It should be never. Neither His character nor His Word will ever change. So that is correct. So God is good all the time. Think about that. No matter what happens, no matter what we go through in life, remember that His character, His Word never change. And so God is good all the time. So as we look at this section of Scripture, we're going to tackle it one verse at a time. And we have just one point tonight. And that's the main point. That's all we're going to look at tonight. Every one of these verses expound on this truth that God is good and He does good according to His Word. That is the point that this passage is going to expound. I want to take a moment before we start in verse 65 tonight and pray. Our Father, tonight we know in theology, we know in doctrine, that You are good. We know that the Bible teaches Your goodness, that You're good to all, especially good to Your redeemed people. But Lord, sometimes as we go through life, that doctrine and belief is challenged when we go through the school of hard knocks, when we experience trials and adversity. We begin to wonder and question Your goodness. But tonight, as we look at Your Word, I pray that You would help us to gain perspective, that as we go through experiences in life, that we can conclude, as David concluded, that Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy Word. That we would be able to honestly say that. That we would believe that with the utmost parts of our heart. That You have done all things well. Lord, tonight take Your Word and encourage the hearts of Your people tonight. And for those that do not know You, that they may see Your goodness at the cross. They may see that one of the most evil acts ever committed by man was crucifying the Son of God. But yet You used that evil to bring about the greatest good that could ever be accomplished in a person's life: salvation. Lord, we pray You'd bless this time together. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So every verse in this section, it expounds on this major truth we're looking at, this one main truth, that God is good and does good according to His Word. And it's not an easy truth to learn experientially, because I believe that it's a truth that can only be learned in adversity. It can only be learned, as the old people used to say, maybe I should say the seasoned saints would say, in the school of hard knocks. So in verse 65, let's read this first verse in this section. This is thanksgiving and praise. He's saying something to God in this psalm. He's saying, "Thou has dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." This is not just a profession of what he believed, of his faith, but I really believe that this is his heart. His heart speaking to God, that he's saying to God, "God, you have done well. You have done beautiful. And all that you've done in my life, it's been beautiful." And I want you to recall that this psalm is just that. It's a psalm of praise to God. This entire 178 verses it is in this psalm, not 119, it's a psalm of praise. And the Hebrew word psalm, it refers to a song that is set to the chords of a stringed instrument. And so these words that we're reading and studying tonight, it was part of a song that David wrote in praise to God, praising God's word. And in this section, praising the goodness of God and the goodness of His word. And so David, in this verse, he's praising God for His goodness in his life. As he declares, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant." As I pointed out, that word or adverb "well" is the word "tob," that's translated "good" in the next verse. And in verse 68 and verse 71, it's the same idea. He's basically, David is saying, just like those villagers said of Jesus in Mark chapter 7, in verse 37, Jesus healed this deaf man, and the Bible calls him also dumb, meaning that he was mute, he could not speak. This man had his hearing restored, and he was able to speak. This was a great miracle, and this is what the people said in that verse: "He had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." And that's what David is basically saying here. He has done all things well. And this is a good thing for us to come to in our lives, especially after going through adverse times in our lives, to be able to say, "He has done all things well." Not some things. All things well. I want you to notice, however, the last four words in this first verse we're looking at here. It says, "According unto thy word." I want you to think about this. The goodness of God, it is no chance matter. It's not by chance that it happens. It's God promised to do good, and He has done it according to His word. And that's what David's referring to here, "according unto thy word." He's saying, it's in accord with what you've spoken and promised in your word. You've done well. You've done good. Just like the Bible says. Just like you have spoken in your word. That's what he's saying. The good God keeps His good word. You can bank on that. That He's going to keep His word. If you think about David's life, you know that it wasn't a bed of roses. Most of David's life was one of adversity. His life was full of it. Even after he became king, you look at all the trouble that he had. You know, the wars that he fought, the trouble in his family, the trouble with people riding his own son, causing division in the kingdom. And so his was a life full of adversity. But yet David is able to say, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." You know, I want you to understand that one of the things we have to learn about the goodness of God, I think this is a key thought for us tonight to help us, is that it's not based on our standard of what is good, but on God's own standard. It's according to His Word. His goodness is according to His Word, according to what He's spoken. See, sometimes we look at goodness or we look at what is good and we think that, or we associate good with our own happiness. We associate what is good with getting our own desires fulfilled. But that's not what we're talking about here tonight. When we talk about the goodness of God, God dealing well or good with His people, we're talking about good according to His standard, according to what He said in His Word. Because God always acts according to the precepts, promises, and principles revealed in His Word. So what David is declaring here is that what God has done for him is good and right by God's Word, by God's standard, by what God has spoken. That's what he's saying here tonight. And we need to get that straight before we move on, because we need to understand that when we say that God is good and He does good according to His Word, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about God's doing good according to His own Word, to His own standard of what is good. Let's look at the next verse. He says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." You know, this verse is a prayer. He's asking God, this good God who has done all things well, to give him good judgment and knowledge. You know, this is a good prayer for us to pray, because we need to be able to distinguish between what is good and what is not good. Because oftentimes we do not know what is good for us. We need to admit that. I mean, sometimes we question God's goodness because we don't know what's good for us. We get selfish and we get carnal and we want our desires met. And when God doesn't meet those carnal, selfish desires, we think, well, God's not good. That's not good, defined by the Bible. So we need God to help us, to teach us good judgment and knowledge. You know, remember when we were kids, when you were sick? How many of you loved to take cough syrup medicine? Nobody. Why? Because it was bitter, wasn't it? It wasn't good. It didn't taste good. And so we as kids, we're wanting to spit it out. We don't want to take it. We're fighting. We don't want it. We're saying it's not good. But that bitter medicine is good, because it's what makes us well. It's what helps us to get well. It has good results. It doesn't taste good. It tastes bad. But it's good for us. And so it is in life. There's things that are bitter experiences that we go through. We don't like them. But we need to realize God is good all the time. And He does good all the time. We just need God to teach us good judgment and knowledge. Look in verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Going back to that bitter medicine illustration, affliction is a lot like that bitter medicine. It doesn't taste good, but it has a good result. In this case, affliction was good because it brought about obedience. It brought David back to God. This is one of those before and after pictures. He says, "Before I was afflicted, He says, but now, have y'all ever seen those before and after pictures of people that get on a diet? I mean, when it's radical. I mean, it's amazing to see the difference between day one and day 300 or whatever, to see the difference in that person before and after pictures. Or maybe before you start a house project, you take a picture of that old ugly orange carpet and the ugly paint, and you take a picture, then you totally remodel it and you take another picture. I love seeing those things. It's like, that don't even look like the same room. Well, this is one of those before and afters. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Think about that. Sometimes good things in our minds, prosperity, lead us astray. Think of our country. We've been so blessed so many years with prosperity, but look where we are today. We've just totally forgotten God. Totally forgotten God as a nation. God has blessed us so much with so many things, but sometimes we need affliction. It's good. And that's what David's saying here. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, sometimes we need to realize that sometimes affliction comes upon us because of our own sin. We wander from God. We go astray from God. And because we go astray, God has to bring chastisement in our lives. God allows this affliction to come in our lives to correct us, to help us to correct course. You know what's interesting about the Hebrew word for afflicted that's used in verse 67 and also verse 71? I looked at the Hebrew word and the definitions and what it means. One of the definitions, it means afflicted, but next to that, humbled. Humbled. It means to be bowed down. Humbled. And so I thought that was really enlightening, because you think about it, when we go astray from God, sometimes God has to what? Humble us. Because we're full of pride. We think we can do it without God. And life is good without God. And sometimes God brings affliction to humble us, to cast us down, to cause us to bow down. And so David said, before I was afflicted, or before I was humbled, I went astray. One writer, he put it this way: affliction robs us of all of our confidence in ourselves and pushes us to Christ. I like that. Affliction robs us of all of our confidence in ourselves and pushes us to Christ. So I would say that affliction can be a good thing. Wouldn't you? When we look at it in that light, it's a good thing, because it helps us to realize what Tim preached on two Wednesday nights ago, our deficiency. That we are not sufficient of ourselves. Affliction will do that to us. Trouble will do that to us. As Tim shared the story of his cancer, that affliction, that physical affliction, humbled him. Made him realize he cannot even breathe without God. He can't live without God. So trials show our deficiency so that we run to Christ. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. God deals well with his children. He knows how to be a good father. David Guzik, he wrote in his commentary on this verse, "Yet we must guard against the misunderstanding that seasons of affliction automatically make one better or godlier. Sadly, there are many who are worse from their affliction because they fail to turn to God's word for wisdom and life guidance in such times. The worst affliction of all is a wasted affliction wasted because we did not turn to God and gained nothing from it. I thought that was a good point, and so I wanted to share that because affliction doesn't automatically change us. The purpose of it is to humble us. But if we don't turn to God, if we don't turn to His Word, if we don't, as David did, teach me good judgment and understanding, then we're not going to learn. We're not going to learn from the trial. It'll be wasted. So don't, as you've heard before, don't waste the trial. Learn from it. Verse 68, after he had been afflicted, and now he said, I've kept thy word. He says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. So again, he prays, teach me. He's now humble. He's now dependent on God. Now he's saying, God, I learned my lesson. I learned that you are good. I learned that you do good. So teach me more. I want to know more about you. I want to grow closer to you. So when he says thou art good, he's talking about God's character. In essence, God is good. That's what he's declaring here. And do is good, that's his actions. God does good because he is good. Now we come to verse 69. I want to read verse 69 and 70 together. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. You know, there are times when suffering comes from the enemies of God. The proud, whose hearts, he says, are fat as grease. That speaks of a heart that's hard, a heart that's insensible to conviction. There's very little sensitivity to sin. But God can use even godless opposition for our good and His glory. You know, I think of a lot of examples in Scripture. One of the first that we're presented with in the Bible is in Genesis. Remember Joseph, the story of Joseph and how he was the favored son of Jacob or Israel. How he was given that coat of many colors because his father loved him and honored him more than all the others. He was the son of his favorite wife, Rachel. Well, his other brothers hated him. They despised him, and remember, they wanted to kill him. They ended up selling him into slavery into Egypt, or selling to this band of merchants, and they went and sold Joseph down in Egypt to Potiphar. And then you know the story. He was cast into prison from a false accusation. He was in prison. Then after some years, God exalted him and he became the prince of Egypt under Pharaoh. And during that time of famine, his brothers come and he revealed himself. And remember what Joseph told them. He said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. See how God can turn the evil into good? Even the evil that's going on in Ukraine right now, I'm convinced, as evil as it is, that God's going to do something good. Amen. I don't know what it is, but just because I know God, He is good, and He does good according to His Word. I think of the most evil act ever performed on this earth was when Jesus was crucified, nailed to the cross, when he was mocked and beaten. You know, Jesus, being the Son of God, That was the most evil act that could ever be done. Yet God used that evil act to bring about the greatest good, to provide salvation to us, to all men. So that's good. Think about it. As evil as that was, God turned it into good. And so the proud, they can forge lies against us. But David, he said, "But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." He was not going to be moved by these proud, wicked men. He was going to keep God's word with his whole heart. He said, "Their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." You know, they had no concern about the word of God whatsoever. But he said, "I delight in it." And you know, this Hebrew word delight, it has the idea of dancing or praising. One of the words was used as the sport. And so I get the idea that David so delighted in the word of God that he danced to it. You never thought a Baptist preacher would say that, did you? I'm not saying we should dance in church. Don't go leaving here saying that. But I'm just saying he was so excited about the word of God. He loved it so much. It delighted his heart so much. He was just wanting to dance about it. It just brought delight to his soul. And that's what he meant here. We come to verse 71. He says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You know, this is the Old Testament equivalent to Romans 8:28. I'm sure most of us here tonight know Romans 8:28. "For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You know, it says it works together for good. This is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." If you read the context of Romans 8:28, beginning in verse 18, he's talking about the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The whole context of Romans 8:28 is the sufferings of this present time. Sufferings, afflictions, persecutions. In fact, the end of Romans 8, he talks about that we will not be separated from Christ. Nothing can separate us. Persecutions can't separate us. Death can't separate us. Nothing can separate us. But when you look really close at Romans 8:28, verse 29 explains the good that God means in that verse. And that is, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So everything God does for our good, according to his word, is to make us like Christ. It's not to make us happy. It's not to make us wealthy. It's not even to make us healthy sometimes. God's goal is to make you like Christ. And sometimes it takes you being sick to be like Christ. Sometimes it takes you being poor to be like Christ. Sometimes it takes hardship for you to be like Christ. Because again, afflicted, what does it mean? Humbled, bowed down, brought down. And David says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." He's talking about the value of afflictions. Why is it valuable? Because the rest of the verse says, "That I might learn thy statutes." That I might learn thy statutes. So I want you to think about what he's saying here. It was through affliction that David learned to value God himself and his word. Through afflictions, through trials, through hard times, through the furnace of fires of affliction, he learned to to value the Word of God. Let's look at verse 72. We see that in that last verse. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I got a quote for you. The promises of God shine the brightest in the furnace of affliction. The promises of God shine the brightest in the furnace of affliction. When you are in that furnace, that's when the Word of God becomes alive. That's when you start seeking for help. That's when you start wanting to go to that throne of grace, to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. It's the promises shine the brightest in the furnace of affliction. David learned through affliction to love God's Word, to love God Himself. He tasted and seen that the Lord indeed is good. I wonder how many of us, and I don't want it, when I say us, I'm talking about believers all across our world, not just here in this congregation. I wonder how many would walk away from $1 million or millions of dollars for the Word of God. You know, to me, it's the way some Christians live here in America, it seemed like they would walk away from the Word of God for the millions. Sadly, I'm afraid that would be the case. I mean, if you were presented that millions of bucks, or you could retire today, you could live in whatever lifestyle you wanted to live. Millions of dollars. But you have to leave the Word of God. Would you take it? You know, I say it that way because the way David puts it, he says the law of thy mouth is better. It's better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He's talking about the value, the treasure that the Word of God was to him. And it became that way through the furnace of affliction, through trials. And that's why he was able to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that God has brought me through these hard times because of these hard times, I'm now closer to God. I love God more. I know His Word better. I love His Word because of these trials. And some of the greatest men and women of God all across history have been those that went through the fires. It was the fires that made them effective for God. I guess the Lord keeps calling us, huh? I want to give you a couple of quotes before we close. I'm sure most of you have heard of Martin Luther. He was one of the reformers. We are not reformers. We are Baptists. But this is what Luther said. I never knew the meaning of God's Word until I came into affliction. I have always found it one of my best schoolmasters. So Luther said, I never knew the meaning of the Word of God until I went through affliction. One more quote by Warren Wiersbe. He said, when we find the good treasures of truth in the precious Word of God, we rejoice in the goodness of the Lord and have no desire to wallow in the things of this world. No matter what our situation may be, we can affirm from our hearts, God is good all the time. Notice how he's put that. When we find the good treasures of truth in the precious Word of God, it's then that we are able to say with our hearts, God is good all the time. If you've not been through fires, if you're a new Christian and you've not gone through fires, fiery trials of testing your faith, when you say God is good, it's hollow. But when you've been through the fire and you're able to say God is good, it means something. When we doubt that good can come out of pain and suffering, we just simply need to turn our eyes to the cross. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. You know, every passage of Scripture, we need to see where it leads us to Christ. And this passage definitely leads us to Christ, because it shows how good comes out of such great evil, and how we can experience the goodness of God. It's through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Father, we are so grateful for your goodness and your mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, that in the experiences of life, when things get hard, that our faith is tested with the fires, and we learn to turn to you as we are humbled by these afflictions. It's in those fiery trials that we can test and see, that we can prove and see, that we can taste and see that you are good. As we see your promises being fulfilled, as we see your mercies and your grace being bestowed upon us in our time of weakness, in our time of pain, we see your comfort upholding us through difficult times. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to your word, that you act according to your word, that you promised in your word that all things work together for good. That all these things are working together to bring us into Christ-likeness, to be more like Jesus. And Lord, I know there's a lot of people in our church family that are going through trials and different kinds of afflictions. A lot of times when we pray for you to remove those afflictions. And I know that you know our heart's desire. But Lord, give us good judgment and knowledge to know how to better pray for those that are afflicted. Lord, to pray that through the affliction that they would no longer be astray from you, but they would draw near to you. That through affliction that they would be more like Christ in their character. That the trials would purge out some of those sins and those things in their lives that are hindering people from seeing Christ in their lives. Lord, help us to pray in light of these truths that we learned tonight. Help us to think in light of these truths that we learned tonight. Live in light of these truths. That as we go through the furnace of affliction, that we would recognize your goodness through it all, and your end purpose in making us like Christ, and making us more fit and equipped to serve you. Lord, thank you for being good all the time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.